I have a song I love to sing since I have been redeemed. Of my Redeemer, Savior, King, since I have been redeemed. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in my Savior's name. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in my Savior's name. I will glory in my Savior's name.
Americans, and that salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalm 33, let's talk a little bit about our country this morning. Psalm 33, find that text in the middle of the book of Psalms, well, in the middle of the Bible. Psalm 33, and in just a moment when you find it, I'm going to have you, if at all possible, stand with me in honor of God's Word today. Psalm 33, we're going to read one verse for our text this morning, and jump into what we can learn from it. So, if you found Psalm 33, let's stand together in honor of God's Word, if you're able to do that. Psalm 33, verse number 12. Let's read this together today as a congregation. That's one verse, verse number 12. Ready and read. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. And I want to speak this morning on the subject of a happy nation. A happy nation. Father in heaven, we're grateful today to have the privilege to be in church. Thank you for these folk that would come out on a holiday weekend, bring their Bible, be in their place. Lord, for the good music that we were able to enjoy today together, singing about our country. And we're thankful again for this land and concerned for it. Lord, every problem's answer and solution can be found in your book. And I pray that you'll help me today as I preach about this, from your word, in Jesus' name, and amen. Thank you, and be seated. I think it can safely be said everybody within the confines of the United States of America is looking for happiness. Unfortunately, most have not found it. The Republicans are looking for happiness. The Democrats are looking for happiness, albeit in very different ways. Red, brown, yellow, black, white-skinned people are all looking for happiness. And the pursuit of happiness is not just an American theme. It is worldwide for sure. People want to be happy. Now, some might claim that everyone was happier when life was simpler. Americans enjoy convenience, but is it at the cost or at the expense of a calmer lifestyle that in the end was much happier? You know, I can remember as a boy when there wasn't much going on after about 5 p.m. every night. Everything just shut down. You couldn't buy any gasoline on Sunday. You couldn't go to a restaurant. I'm not that old, but that happened in my lifetime. You know, there are more stores and more types of stores for us to shop in, more items available to purchase over the counter, more choices for dining out than there were in past years, more opportunity for recreation and hobbies and so forth. But is the result a more hectic, fast-paced lifestyle that often leaves people unsatisfied and at times unhappy? Now, we could give all kinds of answers as to why that might be the case, but in my opinion, in one verse, the Bible sums up what has happened to America's happiness. And it'll be what happens to your family's happiness, and it'll be what happens to your personal happiness if we're not careful to avoid what could come. Psalm 33 is one of the few psalms that has no title. There's no heading at the beginning of it that tells us whose pen wrote it. Now, a man named Dixon said that he felt that it was that way to teach us to look at the Bible as altogether inspired of God and not put price upon it for the writers thereof. In other words, what he was saying was, hey, just because this is not a Psalm of David does not mean that it is less important than a Psalm of Asaph. It's God's Word. It's in God's book. And one psalm is just as important as the other. Whether Asaph penned it or David penned it or Moses penned it, it matters more that these are God's words than those whose pen put them on paper. It's an interesting chapter. Verses 1 through 3, the righteous are exhorted to praise Him. I preached on that verse, number one, some years ago. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Somebody might say something, especially to a lady. A husband or a lady friend might say to a lady, that dress is comely on you. I mean, it looks good on them. It's comely. It fits. And I want to tell you what the Bible says is saying here. Praise fits. Praise looks good on the righteous. When God's people praise Him, that's comely. That's fitting. And I preached a whole message on that. Won't do that this morning. Verses 4 and 5 tell us that the righteous are to praise Him for the excellency of His character. Verses 6 and 7, the righteous are to praise Him for the majesty of His creation. In verses 8 through 11, men are exhorted to fear before Him because of His providence. And verses 13 through 19, God's omniscience and omnipotence and the care of His people are celebrated. And aren't you glad that God is both all-knowing and all-powerful when it comes to the care of His people? Verses 20 through 22, the psalm ends with an expression of confidence and an earnest prayer. And I left out verse number 12. Verse number 12 is our text this morning. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Nations whose God is the Lord are happy. Now, it is obvious that the verse is about Israel. That's obvious. The second part of the verse is no doubt about Israel and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. Israel is the nation that God chose as His own inheritance. You know, the section known as the Old Testament in the Bible is largely about the nation of Israel's history, its beginning, its leaders, its victories and defeats. It's about Israel's rise to power as the greatest nation on the earth. And it's about Israel's demise because of sin, which led to its captivity. Then there is much about Israel's future and the restoration of its people to God and the reign of its greatest king, Jesus Christ, which not only will benefit Israel, it'll benefit the whole wide world during that reign. But the first phrase can be more than just a reference to Israel. It can be a reference to any nation. I want to break down a few of the words in this verse for you this morning. First of all, I want you to see the word blessed at the very beginning of the verse. Blessed. The word simply means happy. Happy. The word does not mean slightly happy or just barely happy. It means how happy. It means beyond measure happy. It means overflowing with happiness. Now, people, how many books have been written that deal with the subject of happiness? How many? Page after page declare the way to happiness. How to find happiness. 12 steps to complete happiness. Thomas Jefferson wrote in the Declaration of Independence that man was endowed by his Creator with the unalienable right of the pursuit of happiness. Happiness is the pursuit of everybody's heart. Now, that being the case, I would think everyone would pay attention to something written about how they, their country, could be happy. And not just slightly happy. Fully happy. Greatly happy. Overflowing with happiness. Look at the word nation. Blessed is the nation. Now, I'm not an expert in Hebrew. I'm barely good with English. I'm better with Southern English than I am with Northern English, okay? But not very good in Hebrew at all. But it's very interesting that the word used in Hebrew here is not just about Israel. It's about Gentile nations as well. It is used about a body of people inhabiting the same country or united under the same sovereign or government. Now, we have around 200 nations or countries in the world today. They range in population from almost 1.5 billion in China. Can you imagine that? 1.5 billion people in China. To 801 in a country called Holy See. You know what that is, don't you? It's the Vatican City. And that is considered a country. Their population grew too last year from 799 to 801. I guess that's the way it would be if you lived in a country dominated by priests. Who are celibate. Okay. Now, this verse teaches that great happiness is available to an entire nation of people. And this must be something that every nation would be interested to know. Think of all the people vying to be elected as a leader of their respective nation. What a campaign promise that would be. If I am elected, I can guarantee great happiness for all of us. Isn't that in essence what they claim anyway? That's their campaign promises. We'll make America better. We'll make this country better. We'll make this country greater. We're going to increase our happiness, increase our prosperity. Well, the Bible tells us here that a nation can be greatly happy, overflowing with happiness. Look at the next word in the verse. The next word I want to point out, blessed is the nation whose God. When we talk about God, we know who we're talking about. Supreme being, the ruler. Every nation chooses to embrace a God. But folks, not every nation chooses to embrace the one true God. Even those nations who declare themselves atheistic. We're atheists. Even those have chosen to embrace a God. They are their own God. Some nations set gods made out of stone or wood or other products as their supreme being, and they worship those beings. Some nations make the bodies, the heavenly bodies, the bodies of the heavens as supreme beings, and they worship those as God. Some nations elevate the spirits of their dead ancestors as supreme rulers. That goes on in many countries where our missionaries are located, even internationally, live in that kind of animistic society. What am I saying? I'm saying that someone rules, someone presides as God over every nation. Someone rules, someone presides as God over every family. Someone rules, someone presides as God over every individual. So here we have blessed, happy, overflowing with happiness, abundantly happy. Nations, a group of people united in a country or under the same government. And then God, every nation is ruled by some god. And then you come to the word or the name Lord. And when you get there, church, now we learn which God is the one who makes groups of people greatly happy. And the one who makes groups of people greatly happy is Jehovah God. Jehovah. The name Lord, when you find it in the Old Testament, and it's used in all uppercase letters. That's how it is in verse number 12. Look at it again. Uppercase L, O, R, D. When you read that word, that name of God in the Bible, particularly the Old Testament, it is the name Jehovah. Jehovah. It is the name that was introduced to Moses at the burning bush on the backside of the desert of Midian. The name means, I love it, Jehovah means the unchanging, eternal, self-existent God. The I am that I am. Which is, this is the only true God. All other gods are the creation of man's own thinking. This God, Jehovah, is not the creation of man's thinking or hands. This God is the Creator. This one needs no one to help him exist, to prop him up, to support him. He exists on his own from eternity past throughout eternity future. It's what made the Pharisees so mad at Jesus when he said to them, before Abraham was, I am. He was declaring that he was Jehovah God. I love the name Jehovah. He, Jehovah God, was the same in eternity past as he is in the present and as he always will be in eternity future. Jehovah God is the same in the present as he was in eternity past and as he always will be in eternity future. Jehovah God will always be the same in eternity future, what he was in eternity past and what he is in the present. All those words were summed up in the book of Hebrews. Jesus Christ, God, Jehovah, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, now we understand that not just Israel, but any nation who embraces Jehovah as their God can be greatly happy, overflowing with happiness, an abundant happiness. To me, that seems so simple. He put it in one verse. Now, Israel was chosen by God to be his own inheritance. We know that, the second part of the verse, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. That's Israel. That's the Jews. He revealed himself to them, starting with Abraham and continuing through Isaac, Jacob, and others. Isaac, Jacob, not Ishmael. Isaac, Jacob, not Esau, and others. While other nations in the known world at that time were groveling before their false gods and their handmade idols, Israel was introduced to the one true God. You talk about grace. You talk about grace. People talk about grace not being found in the Old Testament. I want to tell you something, friend. You can't get a better definition of grace. God chooses to reveal himself to a people while other countries and other peoples were worshiping false gods and groveling around to idols made of wood and stone. God begins to reveal himself to this chosen group of people, this chosen man, Abraham, and those who followed after him. And Israel was led to believe in him and trust him and follow him and love him. And you know what happened to Israel? As long as they trusted him and believed in him and followed him and loved him and worshiped him, you know what happened to them? They were greatly happy. They were blessed above all other nations. That's not just my opinion. During Solomon's reign, the Bible says he was the wisest of all the men on the earth. The Bible says that was the greatest kingdom that had ever been in existence. And the Queen of Sheba came from the south to tour the kingdom. And Solomon showed her all around her mouth. No doubt if you can picture her walking through that country and seeing the apes and the peacocks. And think about it. You go to the zoo, you see the peacocks walking around with their tails all spread out in color. That's just walking all through the nation of Israel. And gold and silver in abundance, so much gold that silver was counted as worth nothing. Can you imagine that? And when she walked through the kingdom, you know what she said? As she finished her walk, she said, Solomon, happy are these thy people. She was not as impressed with the peacocks and the gold and the apes and all the other things and the ivory. She was not near as impressed with all the temple. She was not near as impressed with all of that as she was the people and their happiness. You know why, folk? One of the reasons is because she came from another country that did not embrace Jehovah God. They groveled to idols. And that kind of worship never has made anybody happy. Never has satisfied anybody. But the Israelites were happy. Greatly happy. And I'm not saying every individual Jewish person embraced Jehovah as their own God. No, the vast number of the population did, though, and the nation was blessed. I will tell you something, don't miss this. When the leadership embraced the worship of Jehovah as the one true God, the nation most often followed suit. And it was blessed. And when the idols and false gods of other nations were finally embraced as God in Israel. I was just reading this week in the Old Testament book of Kings and Chronicles. And I didn't have this in my notes, but it just came to mind. I was reading about the king, and now I have forgotten which king it was. And he went to battle with a heathen, ungodly people, and his army, the army of Judah or Israel, one or the other, defeated this heathen army, this godless nation. And then, incredibly, after defeating them, he took their gods and brought them back to Israel. Why would you do that? Why would you set the gods up as supreme ruler, the gods of the people you just defeated? I think I'd want a god a little bigger than that. And they had one. But he brought those idols back and set them up, and God was completely displeased with him. Said, why in the world do you want to set up those gods, the gods of the enemy that you just defeated, and worship those gods? It's incredibly crazy. When the children of Israel went into the land of promise, God warned them and told them, do not take the idols and the little g gods of the people that I am taking out of the land and set them up as your gods. Don't do that. But Israel eventually did that. And again, many times it was because of the influence of those in leadership. God says, blessed, blessed, happy. How happy? Overflowing with happiness is the nation. A united group of people in a country or under the same government or sovereign, whose God, supreme being, ruler, magistrate, potentate, is the Lord, Jehovah God. Happy is that nation. I want to tell you something. That Bible verse is still as true and relevant today in 2020 as it always has been. And if Jesus Christ stays in heaven and does not come in the rapture for the next 10 years, it'll still be true. And if he doesn't come for the next 25 years, it'll still be true. It's God's unchanging word. It always has been, always will be. Happy is the people whose God is Jehovah. Jehovah. But the promise is not just for Israel. It's not just for Israel. A Gentile nation who chooses to embrace Jehovah as God, as supreme being, as ruler, can experience great happiness as well. And people, this is just, I guess, my opinion now, moving away from what this says plainly in the Scripture, based on what it says. I believe this is the explanation for America's greatness and happiness as a nation for a long time. Because without a doubt, Jehovah was embraced as God in the beginning of this country's existence. You know that's true. When you read documents written by those from every branch of our government, those documents prove that Jehovah was embraced nationally as God. I'm talking about documents that came, that were written by presidents who occupied the executive branch. Those documents prove their belief in Jehovah God. Documents that were written by congressmen who occupied the legislative branch. Those documents prove their belief in Jehovah God. And documents written by judges who occupied the judicial branch prove their belief in Jehovah God. God's existence, God's reality, and not just His existence, not just His reality, but the worship of Him, the obedience to Him, the respect of Him, the fear of Him, was embraced nationally by this country. And just like Israel, not every individual embraced belief in Jehovah God, but the nation as a whole did. Say, Pastor, how do you know that? How do you know a nation embraces God, Jehovah, as its God? Well, if they have a respect for His Son, Jesus, if they have a respect for His book, the Bible, not the Quran, the Bible, if they have a respect for His day, Sunday, that's a pretty good indication that they have a respect and fear of Jehovah God. In many of those 13 colonies' constitutions, the people that they sent to the Constitutional Congress, the men that they chose to represent their colony in Philadelphia, had to sign a document verifying their belief in Jesus Christ as God's Son and the Bible as God's Word. They couldn't even go to the convention unless they said they believed that. Brother, I'll tell you something. We're a long ways from that today. We're a long, long ways from that today. And we wonder what's happened to America's happiness. Where has America's happiness gone? Where has it gone? Like Israel, when idols and gods of man's own making were embraced, then the nation, our nation, suffered. And today there are fewer and fewer people in America embracing Jehovah as God. Even fewer in positions of leadership. And that influence is powerful. Is it any wonder our country is suffering like it is? And don't miss this. We have forsaken the fountain of happiness and substituted a broken, leaky cistern. A broken, leaky cistern for a fountain. But friend, what in the world is a cistern compared to a fountain? A cistern only holds water. A fountain is the source of water. We have abandoned the fountain of happiness for broken, leaky cisterns that can't make anybody happy. That's what's happened to our country's happiness. It's where it's gone. America has chosen its God. Jehovah is not His name. Great happiness has been exchanged for great anger, great ugliness, hatred, vice, and greed. Does that sound like happiness to you? Murder, drunkenness, promiscuity, and evil thinking has penetrated our society to its core. To its core. To its core. What a sad, sad state in which we find ourselves as a nation. From a happy nation to an angry one. From a happy nation to an ugly one. From a happy nation to a hateful nation. Full of vice and greed. What's happened? We've lost our happiness because we quit embracing. We left the fountain and instead substituted a cistern. But I will not end the message this morning at that point. There is good news. And here it is, church. There is still individual hope. And I believe there's still family hope because people who choose Jehovah as God of their life can still be blessed. Now, you're in the book of Psalms. Go back to your familiar chapter, one of the most familiar chapters in the whole book, Psalm 1. Psalm 1, and you know the text if you're familiar with your Bible. Psalm chapter 1 and verse number 1. It begins with the same word that Psalm 33:12 begins with. It begins with the word blessed. It's the same word in your Hebrew Bible. It has the same definition. It means happy. It means overly happy. It means greatly happy. It means overflowing with happiness. Blessed is not the nation, not the community, not the state, not the government. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. His delight is in the law of Jehovah God. You know what that means, church? Yeah, I can be expressly happy. You know what that means, church? You can be expressly happy. And just in talking to pastors on the phone over the last 2 or 3 weeks, you know, we'd come back to church here in Illinois for the most part. A lot of the independent Baptist churches are opening and having in-person services. But, you know, they say, you know, I think people are glad to be back in church, but it's just like an edge of what we don't know what it is. Uncertainty, an edge of what's going on, an edge of what's happening just kind of puts everybody a little bit. But I want to tell you something, folks. Even though we're living in a turbulent time in our country, you and I can have the happiness that God wants us to have right here in our hearts if we choose to embrace Jehovah as our God. It's possible for people today to be greatly happy. I'm talking about delightfully happy. Even in the midst of a nation that has abandoned Jehovah as God, I am thankful that the worship of Jehovah God still brings great happiness to an individual life. Hey, you know, I was happy yesterday on our nation's birthday. It was a good day. And I know some guys, you know, went fishing and some guys probably played golf or whatever you did. But, you know, we just kind of worked around a little bit, worked around the house. I was on the phone a little bit with Natalie and Logan, texting and talking and so forth. But I enjoyed yesterday. It was a good day. Last night sounded like a war. Did it sound like that at your house? I mean, you know, nobody had fireworks to speak of as far as community, I guess. I mean, I guess some people did. Kankakee have fireworks? They did. Okay, well, maybe that's why it sounded. But it just looked like, it sounded like they were everywhere. All around us. And it just boom, 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 boom. And, you know, I got into all that's wonderful. That's great. Yeah, happy. That's what John Adams said should happen. That's what John Adams said before his death when the Declaration of Independence was signed. He said, this day, July the 4th, should be celebrated in the future with munitions and spectacular shows and games and recreation. What we did yesterday, what America enjoyed yesterday, was something as old as when John Adams wrote those words. Nothing wrong with that. But then you come back to reality. Our nation's hurting. You know that. Our nation's hurting. It's hemorrhaging. A man said to me this week, I never dreamed I'd see the things that I'm seeing. I'm not even going to get into all of it this morning. I don't want to go there. But I will tell you, church, you and I do not have to be in complete despair and depression, even while the country seems to be tearing apart. If we have chosen God, Jehovah, as our God, great happiness is ours to enjoy. Yeah, I get angry sometimes. I talked about that recently. I get frustrated. Yeah, and I get full of, even I guess if you can call it a touch of despair. What are we going to do? But you know what? I come back to reality. I have a book. I have a Savior. The Spirit of God lives within me. Jehovah is my God. I can still be happy. Overly happy. Now, one truth I want to point out as I close this message here in Psalm chapter 1. Very important truth because if you get mixed up on this, you're going to not find happiness. I want you to notice two things, okay? I'm going to say them back to back. Happiness is not the result of what we have. Happiness is the result of how we live. Look at verse number one. Blessed, what's the word mean? Happy. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, standeth in the way of sinners, sitteth in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. Is there anything in those two verses that speaks as to what that man has? Anything in those two verses that speaks to what a man would own in the way of a vehicle, a house, an income, toys, clothing? Anything? Nothing in those two verses speaks as to what that man has. Everything in those two verses speaks as to how that man lives. But our society is upside down. The emphasis today is on what we have. It should be on how we live. You can have everything that man says you need to be happy. But if you don't live in obedience to Jehovah God, you'll never, ever be happy in life. Ever. There's not one thing in these verses about has. A great mistake that all of us can make is to believe that things create happiness. No thing can create happiness. Things can make life easier. Things can bring a little fun into life, a little enjoyment. But things cannot create happiness. How you and I live is what results in happiness. As long as we live in obedience to Jehovah God, if we have no thing, happiness can still be enjoyed. Still be enjoyed. That's a truth that must get down in the hearts, and especially in the day and age in which we live. I was thinking yesterday, Friday, a little bit. Life has changed so much in the past, what, 25 years? It just seems like what you've got to have now, what's become normal, what's normal that you've got to have has become so more complicated than it used to be. There's just so much more stuff to have. And so much of that stuff is defined as necessary for happiness. People, we have more stuff and less happiness. If stuff was the source of happiness, everybody would be running around, yahoo! Because we have stuff, and more stuff. And I'm not against stuff. I have stuff. And after this week, I have more stuff, like you do. But that stuff won't bring one degree of happiness to your heart. Getting up in the morning, opening this book and reading a few pages, that'll bring happiness to your heart. Spend a little time talking to your God in prayer and thanking Him for His goodness and His blessing. And I hope you did that yesterday. In light of everything that's going on with the nation's holiday and all the celebrations, I hope there was a little time that you set aside just to say, thank you, God, for your goodness. You do that on a daily basis, that'll result in happiness. You obey the precepts, the teachings, the lessons, the truths of this book. And I want to tell you something, friend, it will result in happiness. The wonderful truth about this is that everybody can be happy. Listen, not everybody can have the same things. We live in a capitalistic society. At least that's what it has been. And in a capitalistic society, not everybody has the same stuff. Some have more, some have less. Okay? So if happiness depends upon the stuff a person has, some are going to have more, some are going to have less. But what you find out A child of God with less stuff has more happiness than a lost person with all the stuff in the world. Because happiness is never been, has never been, will not be in the future, and is not now the result of things. It's the result of how we live. You know why some of God's people, Christian people, are unhappy? Even though they're saved? Why are they unhappy? With stuff. I won't tell you why. Even being saved, they have chosen not to live according to the truth of Jehovah God. But people, you can make that choice. You can choose to obey His Word, walk in His way, live in His will. And I'll tell you, based on the authority of this old book, that's just as relevant today as it always has been, I can promise you, if you will obey His Word, walk in His way, live in His will, you will be blessed, happy, right in here. Psalm 144, 15. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Are you one of that people? Or have you bought into the lie in America that happiness is the result of stuff? It's not. It's the result of how you, me, live. Live. Blessed is the nation, the family, the individual, whose God, supreme being, ruler, is Jehovah. Jehovah. Based on that promise, you and I can be very happy. In spite of what's happening. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll take this message this morning, this exhortation from this chapter and this verse, and help us. Lord, we are, I'm sure all of us, concerned about our country. But Lord, I am so thankful that even in the midst of all that's happening, we can be a happy people. Happy in obedience to your word, happy in obedience to your way, happy living in your will. And God, I pray that you'll help us to avoid the mistake of believing that happiness is the result of what we have. Help us to understand, believe with all of our hearts, and practice that happiness is the result of how we live. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me just ask a simple question this morning. You don't have to raise your hand, acknowledge anything publicly. Are you happy? Are you happy? Generally speaking, are you a happy person? Is your family happy? Your country may not be. But that little place that you call home, where you reside with your loved ones, that can be a happy place. And your church can be a happy place. And your heart can be a happy place. Are you happy? Are you happy? Have you substituted the cistern of things for the fountain of Jehovah? That never creates happiness. Just the opposite. Pastor, somewhere along the course of the message this morning, the Spirit of God slipped by my chair and tapped me on the heart. Something was said in one of the paragraphs or one of the things that you preached. That God just spoke to me and said, you know what? Recalibrate. Because you've put too much emphasis on stuff and not enough emphasis on me. And God spoke to me like that this morning. Would you raise your hand wherever you're sitting this morning? I see some hands up in the air. God bless you. I see that. Yes, God bless you. Somebody else? Yes. Happiness is the result of how we live, not things we have. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, Jehovah. If you're here this morning and you're not sure that you're saved, then you've never been to the fountain. You need to come to the fountain that's filled with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and be washed in it and forgiven of your sin. If you're not sure you're saved, we have men that can show men how to be saved, ladies that can show ladies how to be saved. Same with teenage young people, boys and girls. That's the starting place for you. But if you're a born-again child of God, happy is the man that lives with Jehovah as his God. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. The invitation hymn begins this morning. You allow the Spirit of God to work in your heart. And you obey Him. Do what He says. Several hands were raised. And if you want to step forward or make an altar right there in your chair, then you can do that. You can come and kneel here in the front. Happy is the man. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. I love the country. I love our freedom. I love our liberty. But that's not the source of happiness for the child of God. The source of happiness is Jehovah God and the choice of Jehovah God as ruler, king in your life, my life. That's where it all starts. It's where it continues. You obey the Lord this morning. Mind God, do as He says. Let the Lord work in your heart. A happy nation, a happy people, a happy family, a happy person is the one whose God is Jehovah. As you believe.